Hello, my loves, and welcome to the Hungry for Healing podcast. My name is Emily, your host and newfound cheerleader when it comes to you healing your relationship to food once and for all. I know a thing or two about diet culture, insecurities around body weight, body image, disorderly eating, and overall just having a very poor relationship between yourself, your body, and your plate. I personally recovered from a 10-year eating disorder and started this podcast as a platform to share my own personal experience as well as the experience and science of others around their take on this food battle the world seems to be under. I hope you stick around if you're hungry to heal because you have an entire life to gain and a food struggle to lose as we venture on this journey together. Now let's get started. Hello guys, welcome back to the podcast today. I am with a brand new friend of mine, Ryan. She is one of the sweetest girls I've met online. She really promotes recovery from a therapist perspective, which I think is a really cool topic that we'll dive into today because I always say I'm not a professional. I can only share my experience. Ryan can share her experience and her professional experience. So I'll let Ryan kind of introduce herself and we'll really dive into it. So thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh, this is so amazing. I'm Ryan. I'm a mental health therapist. So I'm in the process of getting my LPC right now, which is a licensed professional counselor. And then as Emily said, I do have experience myself in eating disorders. And from my own personal experience, I also have my bachelor's in psych and my master's in professional counseling. So a lot of good mindset stuff that I'd love to share with you, but I'll just go ahead and back up and dive in into how I got started with all of this. So yes, I did have personal experience with eating disorders. I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version because, you know, we don't need to be here forever. Anyways, what happened is very, very, I feel like similar to a lot of people where it was something where it was like, I was aware of my body for a very long time, but not anything that was crazy. I had a pretty normal, quote unquote, normal body growing up. I was a big swimmer growing up. So very active, always ate a lot because I was swimming a lot, but because I was swimming a lot, nothing really happened with my body. And also this was pre-puberty. Puberty hits, gain weight like a lot of girls do. And I saw a picture one day of myself that was very candid and freaked out. And it was like, from that moment, the switch flipped in the sense that I feel like it had been building for a while. And this was like kind of the breaking point where I was like, whoa, I'm not okay with that. And so I went on my first diet, and I'm not going to dive into what that was because that's not important. But anyways, that lasted for about a year, and I went on the extreme end of losing a lot of weight, becoming very obsessed with it. It ruled every aspect of my life. And then when it got to a point where it got to be really serious, where people started to get concerned, my parents were like, you know, if you don't start eating, we are going to get you professional help. I freaked out and had my first binge. And I remember it perfectly. I was in San Diego. My grandparents had just ordered all this food. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm okay. Like, I'm okay. I don't need to get help. So I'm going to show them. And I ate all of this food and I got all of this positive reinforcement. Like, wow, like, yes, Ryan, that's amazing. Like, keep eating, this is great. And so I got this high from the binge and like finally feeling fueled by all of this food, but also the positive reinforcement that really was what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And that was really the core of what I wanted, was just attention and positive reinforcement and feeling like I was in control and, you know, how all of that works. But anyways, so that spiraled into the binge eating in the sense of after that one time, it was like, I couldn't go back. It was like, I got a little piece of, or like that taste of like what it feels like to like actually have food in my system. And all of a sudden it was like, I couldn't restrict anymore. I couldn't control, and I could restrict to some point, but it would only last so long. And then I would spiral into the binge. And this cycle of restrict, binge went on for about 7 years. And it was one of those things where I every diet, every plan, every weight loss, whatever, you name it, I did it. I went to Overeaters Anonymous, I did therapy, I, you know, did all of these different things, and I just felt like nothing worked, nothing was sticking, nothing was helping, and I was just like, what is wrong with me? And I think looking back, what was so hard about going through this when I was, and what makes me so sad is that binge eating wasn't diagnosed until 2013. And so when I was going through this and when I was Googling, like, literally what is going on with me, there was nothing on the internet. And so, you know, my parents, bless their heart, like, they were trying to do everything to understand and they just couldn't. And it was like, how do I explain to somebody that I lose control of my body, like, aggressively eat, like, feel like I can't, you know, stop myself until I'm fit. Like, how do you explain that to somebody when you don't understand why you're doing that? And I did all the research that I could. And it's funny because I know a lot of nutritionists say that they got into nutrition because they wanted to figure out their food stuff and they wanted to be really healthy and all that kind of stuff. Well, I was kind of the opposite in the sense that I was like, I know the food stuff. Like, I know how to eat. I know what I'm quote unquote supposed to eat. I know what's healthy, but my mind, like, if I can just figure out my mind, then I'm good. And so I was like, okay, no intention of being a therapist. The real reason why I went into psych was because I was like, I'm going to figure out my mind. Like, I don't know what the deal is, but like, I'm going to figure this out. So like, no intention of being a therapist. This was purely selfish. And it kind of transpired the way that it did. And I'm so thankful that it did. But anyways, started that, started learning about psych, still wasn't working. I was like, now I understand why I'm doing these behaviors, but I can't stop. And what I realized one day, and this was the last day that I binged, is that I wasn't willing. Like, even though I wanted to change, I wasn't willing to do what it took. It was like, I want to change. I want to stop. I don't want to keep doing this. But wait, I don't want to do that. I don't want to ditch the diet. I don't want to let go of this. I don't want to process these emotions. And that's what was keeping me stuck. So it wasn't until I let go and was finally willing to say and do, you know, whatever it took to overcome this, that I actually changed. And I always say, you know, because I say that I did go to therapy before and it didn't work for me. And the thing is that it's not that my new therapist told me anything different. It's just that my mind was in a different place. I was finally willing to do what they said. And I was finally willing to take in what they said. And I was finally willing to go into these sessions and ask them what to do and actually do what they tell me to do. And that was really the biggest difference. And so from there, had a therapist that changed my life. And I was like, you know what? After spending all this time going through this and not having a place where I felt like I could go to like feel normal or someone that I could go to that could say like, I do that too, or I did that too. Like, I felt like for all of this process and all of this journey, all I wanted was somebody to give me hope. I wanted somebody to say, hey, I did that and I'm here now. And I never really found that. And so when I recovered and I did the therapy and I did the work and I came out on the other side, I was like, this actually all lined up. Like, I always say, like, I try to change my mindset instead of being like, why is this happening to me? And really think about why is this happening for me? And I truly believe that, like, you know, all of my struggles with food and then choosing to go into psych purely to try and figure out my mind, like, all happened for me in the sense of now I can be that person for somebody else. And if I can just be that person for one person that says, okay, like, I'm not alone. Somebody else is doing what I'm doing or did what I did. And like, she overcame it and now I can overcome it. Or like, I at least have the hope that it's possible. Then like, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. And so that's kind of how it transitioned into now I'm a full-time therapist and I specialize specifically in helping people with binge eating, overcoming diet culture, really with the perspective and the ideal to or for how to make health and wellness a part of your life without it being your life. Mm-hmm. And so that's me.
That was so crazy. No, I appreciate it because your story is so similar to mine and everyone else's. Like, I'm not a therapist, but I was also a swimmer, which is super funny. I was athletic. I was all these things. And I think that you've taken all of that pain and turned it into purpose. And for people like listening who might be going through it, purpose doesn't necessarily have to be a therapist. Maybe your purpose is helping that one friend that you know that has something with food, or helping maybe your, it makes you just a better person to your family. That's so cool to see it as like, it's really sucky. You can say that it sucks, yeah, but there is purpose from pain. I firmly believe that as well. And I think you said so many things that were so beautiful, but one of the things that I was like, absolutely, is I've talked to so many people who ask, you know, or who say, I want to get better, but I also don't. And that was me. Like, I want to get better, but I don't. And what actually helped me was being honest with that instead of pretending that I did. Like, I tell people all the time, like, I think a first step in a lot of times in recovery, or even just a first step in acknowledging what you're going through, for me was to say, like, I am not happy. I don't know what's going on. I'm constantly thinking about food. I feel like no one understands. I don't know why it's happening. Like, it's actually being honest, because when you struggle with food, I think you're very much so a perfectionist and you try to keep this facade of like, no, I'm fine. Like, everything's fine. Like, I said it. So I was like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. You know, like, I'm good. You're good. Everyone's good. And then behind closed doors, I was so far from good. And I think had I just given myself the permission and the space to say to a therapist, to a friend, even to myself, like, Em, you're not okay. And like, that's okay. And we can just like sit here for a second. Like, it's okay. Because I think we believe that we have to, if we admit that something's wrong, we have to immediately change everything about it. And that's what scares us. It's like, well, this is my coping mechanism. Like, this is my life. Like, I can't imagine waking up and like not behaving like this. I just can't imagine it. And to tell people, like, it's okay to just call attention to what's going on without having to immediately change, and to be able to talk through, like, I'm not sure what's happening. I'm not sure why I'm acting this way. That for me was my first step, to just say, like, I don't know what's going on, but I cannot calm down. And I feel like no one understands. And here I am. Like, and that's okay. And like, that's enough. And that's the place that really finally for me pushed me to be able to then say, and I actually want to get better, but I'm really scared of it. And I actually want to try, but like, I don't know if I can do it alone. And like, it allowed me to be more honest and like authentic. That was what I was looking for, because you don't have to pretend that you're perfect and you don't have to pretend that you're okay all the time. It ended up being the more I like pretended that I was fine and that my eating disorder was fine and everything was fine, I was like never fine. Like it just kept getting more dirty, more messy, more like an obsession of mine, and that more of a secret. It was just more of a secret. And then when I finally, like, I truly say, like, when I finally just let go, I like would cry all the time. I would like, I just had to rant all the time. I had to like talk all the time. Like, there was so much I had just like shoved down for so long, that energy and those emotions. And once I just let it all out, it really gave sort of that clean slate to then really move towards recovery.
Totally. And I think that you make such a good point in the sense of it's okay to be scared and it's okay to not know what's going to happen. And I think that when I say willing, that doesn't mean that you can't be scared or you can't be skeptical. It's just willing to try and willing to take what you learn and just, you know, go from there, in the sense of if something doesn't work out or you slip or fall back into old behaviors, it's like, okay, I'm going to learn from this and keep moving forward. And I'm going to keep trying and I'm going to reach out and like these other things that you're going to do differently. And the thing that took me so long to realize is that I was like, I've done everything. Like, I don't understand why I can't get over this. And what I didn't realize is that even though it felt like I was doing something different, because I was doing different diets or I was eating in a different way. Like I was still doing the same thing in the sense of I was still restricting food or I was still restricting food groups. I was still talking terribly to myself. I was still moving only to burn calories. I was still not eating foods that I actually wanted to eat. And so I would trick myself into believing like I'm doing everything. But then it was when I really got honest with myself and I was like, but am I actually? It was like, actually, no. Like I'm doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results. And that's insanity. Yeah. That is literally the definition of insanity. Yeah. And like, when I was honest with myself about that, I'm like, that's not easy to be honest with yourself about. And it's hard, but it is that first step of being like, what I'm doing, first of all, is not working. Second of all, am I really doing everything that makes the biggest difference?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You hit it on the nail, right? For me, I had the exact same aha of, you keep telling yourself, you know, I'm kind of trying everything, but I was only manipulating food. So I wasn't trying everything. It was just food. And I also think it comes from the belief that we think I'm still working through this. I find it so like sad and extremely fascinating because diet culture sort of like does this thing where they tell this story of if you're thin and you have the ideal body, then you'll be really happy and life will be really beautiful. And like the world is your oyster. And to get that body, you just have to diet. And so it just creates this cycle of like, oh, well then if I just diet, like my life is perfect. And if I control my food, I can control my life. And it's all of these sort of like narratives. And I think when we see that in culture and social media and all of these things and from diet culture, for me, I remember thinking like, well, then I'm doing something wrong because I'm miserable. Like I would try a diet and I would think that I am so weak or I was so like stupid and I just couldn't stick to it. Cause I did the same thing. I was diagnosed anorexic for like when my eating disorder first began, but then for the following like 6 or 7 years, I was doing the restrict binge cycle all through high school and college. And I kept thinking like, it's me, like I'm the problem because apparently everyone else can live on a diet. Everyone else that you see on YouTube, that's like, what I eat today. And they somehow like intuitively only eat fruit. Like I thought I was the problem. I was like, I don't understand. And that's the disheartening part is you really believe sort of this like fairy tale that's told to you. That's like, oh, that's so easy. And then when you restrict your body of calories, that many calories, and for that long, your body tries to like fight back and we get angry at the fight back. We don't get angry at the original story. We're like, well, then what are we doing wrong? And I had that so often where I would try a new diet and then I would actually think that the way to fix my eating disorder was to find the perfect diet, which was just another eating disorder. So I was like, oh, maybe if I just eat clean, I won't have a problem anymore, which was the problem. And so I feel that so religiously. And I think we get put in a situation where we just believe that, well, we're a failure. Like what the heck? Instead of asking what the sort of story is at first. And I think your point of finding people who can share their story and who have experiences like yours, I realized that actually no one was winning at this sort of like dieting game. It was hurting everyone within it. Like from my platform, from yours, I'm sure you're the same way, like millions and millions of any gender, any race, anything go on diets and it ruins their life and it makes them so sad and all these things. And so you weren't alone. Like you weren't the only one failing at this game. The game was the failure in the first place.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know where I heard this. It definitely wasn't my creation, but it's so ironic or so sad that like when we're on a diet and the diet is going well, it's like we give all that praise to the diet in the sense of this diet is so great, it's so awesome, this is the best. But then when the diet doesn't work or we aren't able to stick to us, it's us. I'm a failure. It's me. I'm the problem. We never say, okay, you know, maybe the diet is the fact that the diet doesn't want me to do X, Y, Z is the, no, it's me. Mm-hmm. And so that is so hard to break out of. And that is something that diet culture really reinforces is that when a diet is great, the diet is great. When the diet is not great, it's you that's the problem. And that is what kind of triggers this belief in your mind that like you are the problem when that's not the case at all. And I think that you also brought up a really good point in diet culture promoting this false ideal or this false belief that it is weight loss that will get you whatever it is that you want. And that is where the desire for weight loss comes, in the sense of we want weight loss to the extent that we believe it will get us external things, get us more love, get us more validation, more acceptance. But the fact of the matter is that you could get as thin as you want, as thin as possible, and you might still be single for another year. Your marriage still may fall apart. Your parents still may criticize you. And so we cannot guarantee weight loss will get us those external things, but that's what we hear and that's what we see. And so it's this false belief that happiness is literally one diet away. And we get that false sense of control, just like you said, in the first couple of days where it's like, yeah, I got this diet. It's going great. This is going to be amazing. I'm finally going to have the happiness that I've so deeply desired. And then, you know, after day three, week one, whatever, it doesn't work out. And then it's like, okay, well, that diet was not the answer, but this next one is going to be the one. And that is what is so hard to, or I think the reason why it's so hard to pull yourself out of it is because you see on social media and all around, like these people that promote like happiness because of their body or whatever. And so it's so easy to think that it'll just be the next diet. I'll just try one more time, one more time, one more time. And it cycles. And then before you know it, it's 5, 10, 15, 20 years of spending all your time focusing on the diet, the weight loss, your body, and not even being present in your life. Like, I can't even tell you, like, I say this sometimes and it really breaks my heart, in the sense that like when I look back at some of my old photos of like these amazing events, I can literally tell you to a T what I ate on that day, but I cannot tell you like what the conversations were, you know, what was going on that day, what was exciting about that day, but I can tell you what I ate. And that was the case for 7 years. And like, that is so sad. And it goes by so fast. And it's like, what's the point? Like, what is the point in the sense of, is it really going to make you happy? And how are you defining happiness? And that is just what we're taught. And so to flip it in reverse, when people want to begin this intuitive eating lifestyle and they're like, I'm ready to change, I'm ready to do something different, one of the very first things that we need to work through is overcoming fear of weight gain, because we control our food to the level that we are uncomfortable in our bodies. And so the first step to food freedom, or, you know, just being able to eat freely, is getting over this fear of weight gain. And I always say getting over your fear of weight gain is different than you actually gaining weight. It is just overcoming the fear. We don't know what's going to happen with your weight. Mm-hmm. And overcoming that fear comes down to asking yourself, what are you actually afraid of? Because you're not afraid of that number going up. You're afraid of what that number going up means to you. Does it mean that you're going to be rejected, that you're not going to be loved, that you're not going to find a partner, all of those things? That is what you have to start working through to take the first step to overcoming this.
I love that. Yep. And that's why I think it is so, so important to see therapists, specialized therapists, if you can hear people's stories about it. Because I know for myself, when I was struggling with food, people that don't struggle with food think it's just the food, right? Yes. They think it's just, oh, you're not eating, eat. And it really is that simple. And that also makes it difficult for us to express ourselves in terms of like, no, you've no idea. Like, there's a whole story of what I'm so scared of, whether we're aware of it or not. But when you're able to like be in an environment and explain, like, and it's taken me so long, and I'm sure it's taken so long. Like, at first I was like, no, I'm just scared of salt. And then you kind of go deeper and deeper, and you're like, no, I'm terrified of like, I mean, for me, mine is so like, I'm terrified of just, if I let go of like one area of my life, my whole life falls apart. Like, and everyone will hate me and all, like, it really does. It spirals like that. So I think it's so valuable to like hear from someone and to understand that it's not the food, just like it's not the scale, it's not the weight, it's the whole story behind it. And I think you said something so cool as well about like how we think weight loss will bring us things in our lives. Like we think if we lose a little bit of weight, we get a boyfriend, we lose a little bit more, we get a car, we get a job, like we get a castle. We really do. Like I say it like joking, but I seriously thought like any problem I have can be solved through weight loss, anything. And with that came the reality of, because it was just a distraction, if I felt sad or like upset or even happy, like really any emotion, I was so scared to like feel my emotions and to be my authentic self as a perfectionist that I just used food as a distraction, whether I was eating a lot of food or not eating any food. It was just a way for me to sort of like disassociate and just actually go into like a coping mechanism. And when I think about, I'm the same way, I struggled with food for 10 years. And when I think about those 10 years, that distraction distracted me from my whole life. So to say like, oh, weight loss will bring you whatever you really hope that it will, you won't even see it pass by. Like I think of all the times, and I use this example with girls I've talked to before. I remember all the times thinking like my eating disorder will bring me so many friends, because once I look a certain way, I'll have so many friends. And then at the very same time, I can remember canceling on my friends. Like I can remember canceling my dinner like that night because I was so scared to eat out. And then telling myself, but if I stick to this diet, like friends will come. And my friends were right there the whole time. And like, that's really what eating disorders do. They just keep you waiting to live life and waiting and waiting and waiting as life is going by. And that's like, that is the saddest part of it. And for anyone listening, like, I think not in a depressing way, to just think about it. I think about all the things my eating disorder told me it would bring. And then it told me they were still coming and they were still coming. And it was 10 years later and I never got any of it. I never felt really happy or really present or really loved, like ever. And so just giving recovery that chance of kind of what Ryan said, like you haven't tried everything then, because it's still not working, and everyone deserves happiness and you will get to that point. And so really dedicating to recovery showed me like, wow, my eating disorder wasn't the solution to my life. It was actually the problem. And that's like, that's been the hardest thing I think through the whole process to really swallow.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, that is such a good example in regards to the friends. And I did that too, in the sense of I had this fear, like, I don't even know when it started, but like anytime somebody would ask me, what are you most afraid of? I would always say, being single for the rest of my life. Like I was never the girl that had boyfriends, like never was the one that was asked out on dates. And I always blamed my body for it. I always blamed my body. If I would just lose weight, guys would like me, or I would have the boyfriend or whatever. I was like, that has to be it. That has to be it. I don't understand. And then what I realized when I did some introspection, just like you, I was like, you know what? I'm actually not that fun to be around when I'm on a diet. I don't want to share food. I'm not very talkative. I don't want to, you know, do anything adventurous. I am not present in the conversation. And I was like, And what's funny is that I'm in a relationship now and I'm literally no different body type than I was before, but my personality has changed everything. And I'm like, you know, it is so wild where we blame so much on their bodies when it, on their bodies, our bodies, when it is like, you know, how are you fun to be around? Like same thing with friends too. I was like, no, I was terrible to be around. And like, I would blame my everything, like my relationship with my parents, like, you know, it's their fault. I don't get along with them. And I was like, I was terrible and not fun to be around. And, you know, bless their heart that they hung in there, because I was just a firecracker. That's
true. I think of even like, I mean, cause I, and I'm sure you deal with this, like as a therapist, how your eating disorder becomes your identity and you start to believe that even the good things in your life are there because you're so controlling, because you're so disciplined. And that was what I had to break down. I believed that I got my job because of my eating disorder, or I got an A on that exam because it was just my whole identity. And it's the same thing. Like, looking back, I think of all the classes I had to miss because I couldn't like bring myself to put on pants. Like, I couldn't bring myself to like get dressed and go to class. But in my sort of eating disorder mind, I was like, yep, like it makes me so disciplined. And so it's just such a sad thing. And when you're in it, you can't see it. It's really hard to see life any differently. And then when you're able to look back, you're like, what? Like, hang on. Like, it was actually, yeah, it was the problem the whole time. And like, but it's okay. And if you're someone listening who is still in that place where you can't see it from the outside, I think that's why someone like Ryan is so, so valuable, because you take out the dream a little bit. I think that's what therapy does a lot of the times. And you take out like the bullshit in the nicest way. Cause like, I remember my therapist being like, and just going like deeper and deeper. Cause I was like, I don't know. Like, I just don't eat a lot of carbs. And then by the end of the meeting, I was like crying and I was like, I'm never going to find love. Like, and it really is just getting deeper into it. And for you, Ryan, like, I would love to hear maybe what are your biggest lessons that you share with clients, like in a very vague scope, or what is something that someone right now can really take and start to actually sort of see their whole food struggles, eating disorders, whatever they might be going through, possibly in a different light?
Yeah. So I would say one of the skills that I really like dive into my clients with, especially from the beginning, in the sense of, I truly believe that all food problems stem from being insecure in your body, whether that is, you know, just something that you're deflecting emotions with or whatever. So as you are beginning to start this food journey, fear about your body changing is very, very valid, and it's hard to overcome. And so for me, I think body positivity is amazing, and I feel like self-love affirmations are amazing. However, if you're someone that's been hating your body for a long time, to look in the mirror and say, I love my body, is not going to work. So what I teach my clients is this concept called radical acceptance. So this is accepting reality as it is right now, even if you don't like it, rather than rejecting it, because rejecting it doesn't change anything, doesn't make you smaller, doesn't make the process happen faster. It just keeps you more miserable. And I like to say, you know, using this in an example outside of food, in the sense of, okay, like, let's say it's a really rainy, gray, freezing day. Okay, I hate the rain. I hate the cold. I could wake up and be really, really upset about that and have a terrible day and be like, oh, the weather sucks, whatever. Or I could be like, all right, this is the weather today. Tomorrow's a different day, but this is the weather today. So I'm just going to accept it and move on with my day. And so as you're starting this process with your body, like really looking in the mirror and telling yourself, you know, I maybe don't love this about my body, but today I'm going to accept it. And maybe that is right now, this hour, this minute, I'm going to accept it. You know, you put on a pair of pants that feel tighter 10 minutes later, go right back to that. I don't love that these pants are tight, but I'm going to accept it today. You take a picture that you don't love how things look. Okay, I don't love how I look in this photo, but I'm going to accept it. And maybe when you begin, you're saying that to yourself literally 50 times a day. I was saying that to myself constantly. And slowly that acceptance piece started to happen. And I would say today, like, I still look in the mirror and I don't love everything, but that doesn't make me want to punish my body. That doesn't make me change anything about it. It's just like, all right, this is how things are. I'm going to accept it and move on, kind of thing. So I would say, start with that radical acceptance. Again, reminding yourself that you are just choosing to accept rather than reject. And acceptance doesn't mean you like it, that you love it, or that you're against change. It just means this is the reality of today and you're choosing to accept it so that you can have a better mood. And then also one thing that I think is really, really helpful, especially as you are beginning your intuitive eating journey and you are freaking out about allowing all foods to fit and really letting go of the control and trying to understand, how can this work? Like, if I really allowed myself to eat whatever I want, how am I not just going to gain like a million pounds? And the analogy that I like to use to, again, take it out of food and put it in perspective is, let's say you get a ticket to go to Disneyland and you never get to go. You love Disneyland. You're so excited. This is something that you only do every once in a while. So you go, noon hits, you've already been there riding the rides for what, like 5 hours. You have lunch, your legs are hurting, you're tired. Well, you're gonna tell yourself, I only have this one day, so I'm gonna power through, even though my legs hurt, even though I'm tired, because I really want to enjoy this one opportunity, this one chance I get to be here. Now, let's say you have a week pass. Noon rolls around that day one, you're gonna go back to your hotel because you're gonna tell yourself, I can come back and do this tomorrow. I don't need to push my body to the limit because I can do this tomorrow. And the same thing happens when you truly allow all foods to fit, in the sense that when you have this mentality that diet starts tomorrow, diet starts Monday, tomorrow I'm gonna be different, tomorrow I'm gonna be good. Of course you're gonna eat your entire pantry. Of course you're gonna clean everything out. It's like this last supper mentality. So like, just to reinforce this idea that like, when you truly believe that you can have these foods whenever you want, the like honeymoon phase of them wears off. And in the beginning, it's tough. In the beginning, you do have this phase of like, all right, this is a free for all, I'm gonna eat everything. And just embrace that as it is and know that it's not gonna last forever. But also remind yourself, like, you are getting to a place where you can have these foods whenever you want. You don't need to eat them all now. And I think that that has been one of the most helpful phrases for me, just like making sure that I'm honoring my fullness levels. And I'm not saying to like get yourself to stop eating or to not eat. I'm saying to like keep yourself from like getting uncomfortably full kind of thing. Like, if you want to have 3 cookies, 4 cupcakes, whatever, and you feel like that is amazing and you feel good and that's what you want, girl, go for it. But if you're like, you know, have 1 cupcake and you're not feeling very comfortable, or you're like, I'm satisfied, but I really want one more, telling yourself, I can have this whenever I want. If I want another one in an hour, if I want another one tomorrow, I can have it. So I don't need to eat it all now. So I would say, anyone who is beginning, the two most helpful things was radical acceptance, you know, having that mindset of, I can accept something and not like it or love it. It's just choosing to accept rather than reject, and really shifting my mindset with food to being, I can have this whenever I want, so I don't need to eat it all now. Yeah.
I think that's amazing, right? I think like, cause my biggest thing would be that one where it's, you're gonna, with recovery, you're gonna have to let go. You're gonna have to let go. And at first, if you wanna slowly let go, that's okay. Like Ryan was saying, like, that's okay. But for me, I kept like trying to keep like one pinky on my eating disorder and like kind of let go. So I would kind of let myself eat whatever I wanted for breakfast, for example. But then immediately at lunch, I was like, clean, we gotta eat clean. And it kept me in it for so much longer. We think we can kind of teeter totter between like, I always think between like a, it really is like a false reality and then like reality. We can always kind of like teeter totter.
Yeah.
You have to let go. And the longer you sort of like play this game of like, yeah, I'll try this, but then like next month I'm only eating carrots.
Right.
It just doesn't, the process doesn't work. So I think it's definitely trusting someone like Ryan, working on that letting go, that trust, that acceptance for sure. And then the other piece of advice I would give is, it is going to be so messy. It doesn't have to make sense. For someone who's like a perfectionist and a type A and the control freak that I am, and so many people
are,
we all are. I always feel bad saying we all are. I'm like, I know you. I know who's listening. We all are. We are so hard on ourselves. And we think that everything has meaning and everything is supposed to have meaning. And if we can't figure out the meaning, like, for example, I say this all the time, just to really bring like that it's okay to people. I cried so much for no reason when I was going through recovery, like all the time, like happy cry, sad cry, anything. Like I would literally take a bite of a sandwich and cry, and it's okay. It didn't have to make sense. And it's what Ryan said was like, but it's okay. It was just happening, and it doesn't have to mean anything about me. It doesn't have to stop me from doing the action of recovery. It's really okay. I tried to make sense of everything. I tried to control my recovery, control my emotions in my recovery, that I was only going to gain at a certain speed, blah, blah, blah. Like it doesn't have to make sense. And so that's the other piece I would give, is it's going to be messy. It's a whole new territory. And for someone who's terrified of letting go, you're letting go. So that's a little like intimidating, and it's okay to just be like, I don't know why, but today sucked, but I still did it. And I still ate the food and I still put the pants on, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. This was so wonderful, Ryan. Thank you. Absolutely. We'll have to do another one. We could talk forever. We'll have to do another episode.
I know. Your energy and my energy just vibe so much. I feel like I'm always like up here and everybody else is right here. And like, that's totally fine. Definitely. That's what I'm used to. But like, yeah, I feel like you
guys. We're just like yelling at each other. Like, yeah, exactly. No, I so appreciated it, Ryan. Like, and I know people listening will appreciate it too. That's our biggest message to you guys, is you're not alone. And whatever you're feeling right now is okay. And yeah, we're here to support you. So where can they find you, Ryan? Where can someone find you?
Yeah. So Instagram, my handle is it's Ryan Nicole, ITSRYANNNICOLE. So there's three N's in there. Be careful with that. And then, my business is Coffee Talks Wellness. So I also have an Instagram there. I have a podcast. My podcast is just Coffee Talks Wellness Podcast, and you can find my website and all of that information there. I do one-to-one coaching right now. I'm currently full, but onboarding soon for new clients. Have some exciting things coming this summer. And if anything, I want you guys to know that my DMs are always open. If you just need someone to be like, hey, I get it, or say something to where I'm not going to say you're crazy, because odds are I've done it too, I promise. Know that that's always a safe place. I'm always a safe place. And I just hope with my platform and my socials that you can just not feel alone, because I know that for so long I did, and I don't want any of you to feel that way. So know I'm here for you and right by your side, and Emily is too.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Same goes for me. And I will link everything from Ryan down below. So like, please go check her out, send us both a hi, hello, whatever it may be. And I really appreciate it, Ryan. Yeah. We'll all talk to you guys soon, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.